Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a unique type of live studio audience. We're live here with Suri Garfinkel. How you doing, Suri?
I'm doing good.
Doing good. We have a big week ahead this week.
We do, yes.
Yeah, what's going on this week?
Our third daughter will be getting married this week. We're very excited.
And in fact, third daughter, and the week of the wedding is a little bit busy, but we're still doing Monday Motivation here.
We are.
Okay, so this is in place of our live studio audience. So, you know, I was going to just, you know, launch on wedding wisdom. Would you like to share? Now, this, did we plan this at all?
No, and I'm a little nervous.
Before Rabbi begins his tirade about, all of the amazing Jewish wisdom about wedding wisdom, we just celebrated a anniversary, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Would you like to share with our burgeoning studio crowd, our followers, what number we just celebrated?
It's 26.
26, absolutely.
Yes, 26.
You put up with me for 26 years?
I am a lucky woman, yes.
Okay, this is total spontaneity. Okay, and sorry, can you share? Because I'm actually going to share your favorite Dvar Torah about the Sheva Brachos.
Oh, yes, that is.
That is yours. Yes. So I will quote you later in this podcast.
Well, it's not my Dvar Torah.
I understand. It's just but my favorite one. Is there something that you would like to just write off the bat, say maybe what's special about a Jewish wedding for you? What is special about a Jewish wedding for you?
I would say the focus on the bride and groom and the mitzvah of making them happy. So it's not the bride and groom's job to make their guests happy. It's like it's very different in that it's the guest's job to make the bride and groom happy. So I would say that is the most unique thing about a Jewish wedding.
Amazing. Suri, thank you very much for being our live studio audience.
Good to see you.
Can we, out there, if you're driving or doing Pilates, can we give a round of applause for Suri?
Oh, yes.
I think that's amazing. And maybe these little short vignettes would be a lovely little get some... Monday Motivation Suri Wisdom.
Yeah,
round.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to the wedding.
Okay.
Yes. I'll be there.
Oh, great.
Should I take some time off work to be there?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, good move.
Oh, good move. Okay, that was exciting. Totally spontaneous. First time ever in Monday Motivation. Okay, but I did, in honor of the upcoming wedding of our third daughter, Ariella Garfinkel, to an amazing young man, Ezra Herman of Toronto. In fact, we just came from the Ofrof, which means basically to be called up to the Torah. The custom is the week before the wedding, the groom is called up to the Torah and is showered with candy, sometimes hard candy, sometimes soft candy, as a sign. It used to be rice or wheat. It was a sign of being fruitful and multiply, but it's really a celebratory pregame celebration of the groom going to the chuppah. And we actually, our son Sviki and I went to Toronto to celebrate. It was a beautiful weekend. The extended Herman and Saberman family. It's just a real pleasure. It was beyond very special. Okay. I skipped with that spontaneous beginning. I wanted to give a shout out, a happy birthday to my father, who I don't know if I have permission to say his age, but I would say like this: at his age, I think many people in their 60s or even 50s would love to look and share the health, bli ayin hara, that my father enjoys and is blessed with, and we are certainly thankful to Hashem for his very many robust years. May they continue until 120. So shout out to Dad. Now, the Jewish wedding is very, very special. And we're going to do a contrast here. Rabbi Google, when you look up the current divorce statistics, quotes the American Psychological Association that currently the current stats are 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and the second marriages are even higher. They average 60 to 67% divorce rate. Now, that is not great. In fact, if we would have a business proposal on the table that we're going to invest a lot of emotional and financial capital in, and it's basically a coin toss if the deal's going to work, how many, you know, would Morgan Stanley approve that deal? Would JP Morgan approve that deal? You know, will this venture be successful? It's a coin toss. I'm not sure how many, and yet people go ahead and rightfully so, right? We're going to see it's a mitzvah to get married. But it's sad. It's sad out there in the world that marriage is in such a poor state. Okay. So what is the model of a perfect marriage? That's a fair question. And the answer we have in the Torah is right from the beginning. Good old Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, we'll call her. Her Hebrew name is Chava because Chava comes from Chaim, of life. She is the mother of all life. And so therefore, that is what Adam named her. And there is this is the part that I'm going to quote Siri. She quotes this in this Devar Torah, an absolutely powerful idea. And the way that a certain part, the second part of the ceremony, the Nisuin, under the chuppah, there are seven blessings that are said. The Sheva Brachos, Sheva Brachot. And through the next 6 nights or 6 days after the wedding, total of 7 days of celebrations, the young couple has festive meals called Sheva Brachos, seven blessings. And in fact, the blessings are the continuation of the chuppah. And one of the blessings says an amazing thing. Sameach tesemach reim hovim. That sameach tesemach, certainly you should be happy. Reim, reim hovim. The beloved friends, which is talking a reference to the bride and groom. Kesamechacha yitzircha began Eden mikedem. Just as the one who created you, just as Hashem made you happy. It says that Hashem made Adam and Chava happy in Gan Eden. Just like that happiness, began Eden Mikedem, back in the days of Gan Eden, Garden of Eden. And the commentators ask a question. What do you mean we should be happy like Adam and Chava were, just like Hashem made them happy? And Suri quotes is just such a powerful idea, because in Gan Eden, there were only two people. There were only Adam and Chava. That was it. And therefore, the ideal marriage is that my love, you know, for your eyes only, my heart is only for you, my attention is only for you, for the other person. That was the ideal. Just, there was no one else on planet Earth, just the two of them. And just as that love was entirely and completely exclusive, we give a blessing to this young couple that their love for each other should be in that vein, just like that, totally and completely exclusive, even though there are 8, or is it 9, billion other human beings on planet Earth. A total exclusivity, total giving, total oneness. Now, obviously, each part of the husband and wife retain their individuality, but what they're doing is they're building a bond where they're really creating this entity of total giving and total oneness. Now, I'd like to share with you, in addition, obviously, to my parents, who are a tremendous model of a successful and happy marriage, which this, I think I can say, will be celebrating their 61st wedding anniversary on September 10th, really, of this year. Absolutely. Coming up just in a few weeks. And they are going to be coming and celebrating the wedding of their granddaughter, Absolutely. Their third granddaughter. Absolutely. Fantastic. So in addition, obviously, to my parents, anyone who knows them, it's a tremendous marriage. There are two examples I'd like to share for you specifically of great rabbis and rebbetzins. And one is known as a tzaddik in our time, Reb Arya Levin. He was a great, great rabbi in the pre-state and pre-state era in Jerusalem. He was known as just a one who loved every Jew. And it was very famous for, he and his wife were very close, and she was having difficulties with her leg. And the two of them went to the doctor, and he's waiting in the appointment. They come into the room, and the doctor says, "What's the issue?" And Reb Arya Levin, without any hesitation, says, "Our leg hurts. Our leg hurts. It's not that I'm concerned about my wife and my wife's leg hurts. It's our leg hurts." And he wasn't putting on a show. It was that was it. He spent a lifetime giving to her, and she spent a lifetime giving to him. And therefore, it wasn't her leg. It was our leg. There was such a level of connection that it really, they had bonded into one entity. Another, and I've said this, I don't remember how many years ago, but a really, I've said this vignette before, was remarkably powerful. It was when I was finishing up Stanford. I had done 2 years, and then I went 2 years to Israel to learn in yeshiva, and then I came back, and I finished in a year. And so in that final year at Stanford, I was obviously involved in the Jewish community, was observing Shabbos, etc., and a very, very special speaker came. His name was Rabbi Lord Emanuel Jacobovitz, and he was the chief rabbi of England. He was very close with Queen Elizabeth and his wife as well, Lady J, who I've quoted many times her story about a little girl during Passover hiding from the Nazis. Absolutely fantastic, amazing woman. And I remember that they were giving a lecture on Jewish medical ethics at Stanford, and it was I had the honor of escorting them along with a few other people. And I remember was walking behind them, and it was getting to be late at night. And I remember this is the chief rabbi of the of Britain, of all of England, the British Empire, right? And his rebbetzin, and obviously they're very religious people. And obviously, a tremendous Talmudic scholar, and much of Jewish medical ethics that we go by today was based on his writings. And there they were walking down the hallways of Stanford University, holding two fingers together. I just remember that these two fingers that were just his two and her two were just interlaced, and they were walking together. It was one of the most touching scenes. Now, okay, public display of affection. I know it's not necessarily what we do as observant Jews, but it was so tender. It was such a beautiful moment. That, in my mind, was a perfect example of a lifetime of giving to each other, a lifetime of love, of care, of concern, that late at night, and they're walking, and even if maybe a few people see, it was just such a tender, beautiful moment, an expression of love that was absolutely special. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, as we said before, believe it or not, it's a mitzvah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs to get married and to involve and make one's best effort to have children. Obviously, it's a blessing. It's not a guarantee. But to be involved in this process, it's a mitzvah to get married and to make efforts to have children. And in fact, according to the counting of the Sefer Chinuch, who follows the Rambam, Maimonides, it's the very first mitzvah. And the Sefer Chinuch, the Book of Education, gives two reasons for it. One is to populate the world, which is for another shmooze, when we can talk about the overpopulating people who say you shouldn't have children because you're overpopulating the world. They're wrong. And in fact, we see it's the first mitzvah of the Torah, in fact, is to fly in the face of that. And the second is related, but really the Sefer Chinuch says that all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the entire purpose of the world, is for the Jewish people to be the spiritual light, the spiritual barometer, the spiritual models, role models for the world, to elevate everyone to a level of ethical behavior. And therefore, all of the mitzvahs of the Torah and the purpose of the world is dependent upon there being a next generation of Jews to fulfill it. The Torah was not given for angels, it was given for people. Now, here's an absolutely fascinating insight as we start to now go into sort of maybe some of the modern difficulties of why we're having difficulty with marriage. And it's that, believe it or not, in the piece of the Talmud in Yevamos that I, page 65, which I was just doing, believe it or not, it goes on a fascinating discussion of who is obligated in the mitzvah of getting married and having children. Now, Rabbi, what are you talking about? It takes two to tango. Of course it takes two to tango. But it comes out according to the Talmud, and we bring down in Jewish law, that really it's a mitzvah upon the man to settle down, marry one woman, and have children. Why? 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 Obviously, it takes two to tango. So this is a very one of my favorite ideas. Many times you'll see that mitzvot are given a commandment to help someone overcome their natural desire not to do something. In other words, one does not need to command Steph Curry, thou shalt shoot three-point shots. You don't need to say LeBron James, thou shalt dribble the basketball and dunk the basketball. Right? You don't need to, fill in the blank. You don't need to say to Patrick Mahomes, thou shalt win Super Bowls and throw amazing passes behind your back, right? Because he does that. It's his natural mojo. That's who he is. That's what they do. And so therefore, on the natural hard drive of women is to get married, is to commit to one man and to raise a family. That does not go against the grain. This is something that the feminist movement tried to deny. They tried to go against it. And we see that they failed. They absolutely went against the human nature of a woman, which is to want this. And what do we see? We see, therefore, but it is very difficult for a man to say that I am limiting my options and only focusing all of my effort and exclusivity in one woman. And that's why he is slapped with the mitzvah, the commandment to get married. Okay, the commentators explained the woman also does get a mitzvah, of course, for getting married and having children. It's just she's not proactively commanded to do it because she doesn't need it. Now, where does the secular world go wrong? Well, in many ways. One is a sensitive way. Usually about 18 minutes into my podcast, I get to the hot and heavy stuff. So if you're here at 18 minutes, mazel tov. Here we go. Let me give you an analogy of a stock portfolio. A stock portfolio is a series of stocks that are put into what's called a portfolio. And so imagine there are three stocks. Okay, one in there is worth $1,000. Another one is worth $5,000. And one in there is worth $1,000,000. Okay, so you have $1,000,000 and $6,000 in your stock portfolio. Okay, now if we would take our $1,000,000 stock out of that stock portfolio, instead of it being valued at $1,000,000 and $6,000, it would be valued at $6,000. You have devalued the portfolio. And that is what happened with the free love movement of the 1960s that destroyed the concept that the only place where intimacy should be found is in marriage. When free love came around, it was easy come and easy go. They took intimacy out of the marriage portfolio and made it a commodity that was available outside of marriage. And this should be obvious as we look back 50 years since, that we see that marriage became devalued because they took out the main, most important stock. And therefore, what is marriage left with? Commitment. It's like all the green beans without the dessert. You took the dessert out of marriage. and you can have your dessert anytime you want. And then what does marriage become? It becomes a series of banal and ordinary and regular commitments that are a pain. And for a man who naturally does not want to connect and commit to one woman, it makes it very difficult because marriage becomes a prison instead of a balanced portfolio of responsibility and pleasure. He already has the pleasure. And so why in the world should he get married? And then I could go on and on and on. And then the classic refrain is, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? And it's terrible. I deal with young professionals, the terrible inequality for women dating today. They cannot get a guy if intimacy is off the table. But when it's on the table, they have no guarantee of commitment. And therefore, I like to go back to the classic dry cleaner. They say, no tiki, no washi. You don't have your ticket. You do not get access to your washing. If you do not sign on the dotted line that you are going to be committed forever, then you do not get any access. Full commitment allows you full access. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a ketubah. That is what we call a wedding document, where the groom commits fully to take care of his wife with financially, emotionally, in the intimate realm, in every possible realm. It is his obligation and duty to take care of her. And obviously, it will be reciprocated. That is really the conditions. But we make the man commit to it in actual writing. Again, for the same reason, because it's not natural for him. And therefore, he needs the contract. The woman does not need the contract. And so we could go on and on and on. But this is now the beginning of the essence of what it means to become one. Full commitment, exclusivity, and absolute total dedication and giving of one to the other. That is where we end up with our leg hurts. That is where we end up many, many decades later with an elderly but absolutely dedicated couple holding two fingers together as they walk together at night. That is the vision of two people selflessly dedicated to each other, in which the spiritual and physical needs of the other are paramount for each other to help fulfill and to make the other happy. And that is the tremendously powerful joy that is unleashed at a Jewish Orthodox wedding, because it's a commitment forever. That is the joy, a joy of two people forever changed, forever embarking on a journey to connect, to become one, to relive and become literally like Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, with no one else around. God bless. Thank you for listening to these wedding wisdom. And God willing, we will have a beautiful week of happiness and joy. And I'm not sure if there's going to be a podcast next week. We'll be in the middle of Shavuot. But either way, we will see you soon back here again for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.